Say with me, back on track.
That's the operation we are busy with this November and December. And I really want you to join us in this operation. Because the fact of the matter is, some of us, maybe not all of us, but a good majority of us, you might find out that your life is no more on track. This is so important. Usually, your life gets off track without you realizing it. And then you start picking signs that you're getting off track. But sometimes you yourself don't know how to get back on track. Like you just realize this is not what I signed out for. This is not what I wanted to be or to do. Or like things are going off. Things are just going off. And they keep getting worse and worse and worse. Am I talking to you? And can I tell you something? Things are not going to get back on track by themselves. They won't. As a matter of fact, they enjoy getting off track. And if you and I are not going to do something about it, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Until this becomes what you are known for, and it becomes your life, that this is your life. Yet, when you look at it, you can clearly say, this is not what it was supposed to be. So the Lord has laid this word in my heart. And I tell you, as we go through November and December, we will be trusting God to get our lives back on track. Because it is possible for your life to get back on track. It is actually possible. The reason we're talking about getting our lives back on track, because we make mistakes. We all do. There's nobody here that is listening to me this morning that will tell me they've never made a mistake. Do I have such a person this morning? I've never made a mistake, Pastor. We've all made mistakes. Can I tell you something about mistakes? Mistakes can do two things. They can make you wiser, meaning the next time the same thing comes, do better, because you saw what happened last time. Or, mistake can create a new destiny for you. That actually, this is what you should rather become. Good girl gone bad. You've just gone bad. Good boy gone worse. And Satan is a specialist at using your mistake to discourage you and to tell you, look, it's over. Why don't you just settle for this and make this your life going forward? Somebody is going to get back on track. You're going to get back on track. You're going to get back on track. You're going to get back on track. As a church, we're going to get back on track. As a pastor, I want you to get back on track. As a member, I want you to get back on track. As a wife, as a husband, whatever you are doing, understand that you can get back on track. Hallelujah. You can. You can. No matter how worse your life has gone, you can get back on track. I've been sharing this message in ABC Rustenburg, and this Friday I shared it in Robeka. One of the signs that you're off track, the first sign is usually money. Money is the most sensitive thing in your hands. And as soon as you are off track, the first sign that you are off track, either money stops, money reduces, or money is no more working. When you are on track, you don't need a lot of money. Whatever you have is usually enough. And you will even wonder, how am I able to solve all my problems, even though I don't have as much as others? Because you are on track. As soon as you're off track, the first sign that you are off track is that you become unable to manage money. You are no more able to handle it well. Even when you have it, you can't produce anything from it. You can't show much for it. Money starts having you. So poor financial management is usually a sign you are getting off track. And you see, Satan needs you to be financially paralyzed because that helps you get you more off track. If you are managing money well, chances are you will be on track. Most of your problems are because of financial insufficiency or financial deficiency. Because the less money you have, the more likely you will be going off to go for more. So that's the first thing he attacks. Your source of, or your resources rather to say. So that from there, you just start going this way. There are about 5 signs. I'll be sharing them from time to time because we're going to be on a back on track journey from now until December 31st. So every day we're going to be talking about getting back on track. Get back on track in your prayer life. You can clearly see that you don't have a prayer life anymore. But you want to make it your destiny, but you can decide, I got to get back on track with my prayer. I got to get, like, you can decide to bring prayer back. You can actually decide that this thing is getting off track, that I can bring it back on track. You can. Don't accept what your life is turning into. The monster your life is turning into, don't accept it. I said, don't accept what you are becoming. You are becoming a drunkard. Don't accept it. You can get your life back on track. You are becoming a fornicator, but you can get your life back on track. You can decide, this is not what I want. This is not what I saw when I started my journey. As you are sitting here, Satan has been plaguing things in your spirit. And he wants you to believe that is you. Am I talking to myself? He wants you to believe that is you, and you are sitting here playing church. Meanwhile, you know you are off track. And the choice is yours. You can continue that way, or you can decide, you know what? I think God has brought this season to get my life back on track. Back on track. How do you know your life has gone back off track? Bumps. As soon as a car is up the main road, it becomes bumpy. It becomes very bumpy. It's no more smooth. You can't drink coffee anymore. You are restricted. Off track. You're off track. You're off track. Your life is now bumpy. It's no more smooth. Your words are bumpy. Your thoughts are bumpy. Everything is bumpy. Then the next thing that happens when you are off track is that you start reducing your speed. because you are no more in a good road where you can drive as fast as you want. So you start going slower and slower and slower. And before you realize, you actually stop. Imagine a train that was on these two rails and the train left the rails. What are the chances of that train going 1 kilometer further? It will stop. So that's the plan of the enemy. I get you off track, then I get you to stop and to not move any further. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, Church of God, is that you can choose to say, I see I've gone off track, but I'm going to get back on track. No matter the cost. Because sometimes to get you back on track, we need to call a crane. A crane has to literally carry you, lift you, and shift you, and position you back. And that's what a lot of us don't like. You don't like losing that control. You see, you don't like not being in control. You don't like trusting another person with sensitive information that could get you back on track. So you rather prefer living a lie off track than trusting a person God is sending as a crane to lift you from that place of mud and rag where you are finding yourself and lift you up. When you get lifted up like that, you become the talk of the town because everybody can see you. Come on. When the cars are on the road, nobody sees which car is which. But if I take a crane and I lift a car, all of a sudden that car becomes the attention of everybody. So our problem is, we don't want people to know our story. We don't want people to see that we are struggling. We don't want people to realize that things are not going as well as we are making them to be. I'm going to continue living a lie here, even though I've gone off track. The choice is yours this morning. I've got an advice for you. I've decided, by the grace of God, I'm going to get my life back on track. I'm going to get my ministry back on track. You can make the same decision. I'm going to get my life back on track. I've gone off track. How many of you can attest that you've gone off track? I mean, in so many ways, you've gone off track. You've gone off track. Some of you can't even lift your hands. You are so ashamed. You are so concerned about people. And that's why the crane can never lift you. You are so concerned about what people think of you. I just want to ask you a personal question. Did people create you? What is your problem? Ministries are dying because people don't want to get back on track. They don't want to go back on track. You want to continue living a lie. Listen, I can get back on track. I can get back on track. I don't know what went wrong. But you can get back on track. 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 That's why this word has come. God has sent this word to you and me to say to us, listen, I see how you are struggling. But I've got a good news for you. You can get back on track. So we're going to do a prophetic video at the end of this service. Shepherdess is going to be outside with her phone. I want you to prophesy. You're going to go to her and you're going to take a little video. My name is Pascal and I'm getting my life back on track. That's all. You just say that. You just say, my name is so-and-so and I'm getting my life back on track. I'm committing myself. You say, can you commit? I got it.
I gotta get.
You know why nothing is happening? Because you haven't committed yourself. That things are just, you are thinking that it will get back on track by itself. And it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Somebody's got to commit. I said somebody has to commit and say, I'm taking responsibility. I'm getting my life back on track. I'm getting my life back on track. I'm getting my studies back on track. I'm getting my marriage back on track. I'm getting my finances back on track. I'm getting my ministry back on track. I'm getting my family back on track. Somebody got to make the decision.
Somebody's got to make the decision. Got to make the decision. Please take your seat. Are you blessed to be here this morning? This past Friday, I think Lady Pastor Pumi shared here the first thing that gets people's life to get back off track. I shared the same message in Rebecca. It is available on Castbox. You can go and listen to it. One of the first things that gets us off track is sexual sin. We don't like talking about it. However, it is the truth. Everything was going well for David. Taking a stone and killing a giant. Can you imagine? You use a stone to kill a giant. It means anything is working in your hands. Like whatever you touch becomes gold. That is the type of life David was enjoying. David was a wonder. He was a wonder. Like anything he does works. There's not one battle that David went to fight and he lost. And Satan kept asking himself, how can I get this guy off track? I mean, he beat us left, right, center. Wherever we go, I mean, Saul says to David, to try to trick him, he says to him, look, I'm going to give you my daughter in marriage. But you don't have to pay a bride price. Just do something. Go and kill 100 Philistines and bring their forehead skin. And that's suicide. His plan was, while you go to kill those 100 Philistines, they will kill you. So I will finish you. So David said, no problem. You want 100? 100? Okay, no. David went and got 200. He asked for 100. David brought 200. So he realized you can't beat the guy. And that's how some of you were before. Even when you make mistakes in the exam, you still pass. You cannot understand what is happening. Like, even when I make a mistake, people come and defend me. Am I talking to the right people? Like, you can remember a season in your life where you were on track. Everything was working for you. Everywhere you go, your things are working. People want to help you. Everything is flowing for you. It's working. Boy, Satan observed David. What can we do to get this man off track? Eh? And of all the things Satan could have thought of using, he thought sex. Sex is what we need. If we get him into sexual stuff, he will be quicker out than he can imagine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He didn't ask him to go and steal. He knew David will steal the whole country and nobody will arrest David. He said, let's ensure that Bathsheba is bathing on Friday evening. Because Friday evening, he is supposed to be at fire hour. But he has chosen to be at home.
So let's make sure Bathsheba is bad. And ensure the Botox is showing well. It must show nice. Kosiyama Kosi is on top of, he's on top of the roof. And he said, whoa. What am I seeing? Under normal circumstances, you just, hey, that blood of Jesus. And then you continue. Be careful of things you should run away from that you are drawn to. Be very careful. When you see that you should run away from something, but you are finding yourself running to it, you must understand somebody has studied you. I'm talking to myself. I'm saying that when you find yourself in a position where under normal circumstances, when you see a snake, you should run away from the snake. But here you are seeing a snake and you want to touch the snake. You are wondering if the skin of the snake is nice. Somebody has studied you and they know what works on you. Oh! You are watching a movie and under normal circumstances you should shift the channel and go to another channel. But there you are, holding the remote, but not pressing the button. Somebody has added you. Somebody knows what works on you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And that is how your life starts going off track. Because you are busy with something you know yourself you shouldn't be busy with. Yet you can't help yourself. Am I talking to the right people? You can't help yourself. You feel the need to test it. You feel the need to investigate a bit on this thing. You feel the need to research. So Nkosi Yamakosi asked for binoculars. He said, let me check this thing closer. Ooh. My God, my God, my God. And you will think, after seeing what he saw, he will be satisfied. No. He now asks a person to go and inquire. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? This is where you go to his social media staff to do deeper investigation. I get it, you are already caught. So you start searching deeper. Who is she? Let's check her profiles. Let's go on the Instagram account. I'm talking to myself in Alanyone this morning. You start searching deeper. You start asking Google to give you information. You start asking Instagram. And the person is not aware. I mean, Bathsheba has no clue that somebody is searching about her. And that is how many of us, you are searching, you are busy even accumulating the pictures of a person, and the person doesn't know that your phone is full of his pictures. So his informer returns with the information. That woman, her name is Bathsheba. By the way, she is married. She has a husband. Her husband's name is Uriah. He's from the family of the Hittites. You will think that is enough information to back off. I mean, you are now told she's married. So you now realize she's not available. Come on, somebody. Like, the information has now helped you realize this is a no-go zone. Don't go there. The woman is married. So you will think David will stop here and say, okay, if she was single, maybe I could have considered the possibility, but I'm hearing she is married, so I gotta pull out. David said, go bring her for me. I'm saying to you, be careful when you know very well I shouldn't go in this road.
But you are keep going and going. Despise the signs, despise the stop signs, despise the portals. Everything is on the way. It's saying stop, stop, stop. There are bushes, but you are going through the bushes. There are portals, but you are going through the portals. You are getting off track. You are getting off track. And you are getting off track very fast. Oh, this road is so quiet. I think the word is working deep, deeply on these guys. Tato. Hebana. Tewoko. Are you a philosopher? They are thinking deeply. Wow. Put your hands together for Jesus. Then David sent messengers. And NLT it. These people don't understand some of this English. David sent messengers to get her. And she came to the palace. He slept with her. Of course. Things have gone wrong. Very wrong. Because, Yamakos, you were given all the information. Somebody has studied you. You see, something you don't understand about the devil is that the devil doesn't know you usually. He, information that you provide to him, when a certain friend comes to you, he looks how you react. When you chase the person away, he says, oh, she doesn't like this type. Okay, bring another type. Then he sees how you respond. He's studying you. You are not aware. You just think, get you. No. He's trying to figure out what's your weak spot. What will work on you? He usually doesn't know. So he studies. Maybe what works on you is lack of money. Maybe what works on you is lack of a relationship. He studies you for a long time. When he launches his assault, do you understand? Have you watched those Chinese movies where, especially Hero? Who watched Hero here? I love Hero because in Hero, Jet Li doesn't fight much. Initially, they just stand, they are facing each other. All the fight is happening in the spirit. They can look at each other for 30 minutes. They are not fighting. But the fight is happening in the spirit. And when Jet Li defeat the guy in the spirit, then in the natural, he then starts running. He runs and kills the guy one time. And when you are looking at it, you think, wow. It's not wow. He's been fighting for 30 minutes in the spirit. And he has defeated the guy in the spirit. So in the natural, it's protocol. I recommend you watch Hero. You will see how the fight actually, Hero is a revelation of how battles are fought and how they are won. Because we don't fight here. Here we just assume what we already won that side. So if you lost that side, there's no way you will win this side. There's no way. There's no way. So you can sit here and look very spiritual. Meanwhile, that side, you've already lost the battle. You've already lost long time ago. So you are just deceiving yourself. You've already lost. We are just appearing to be something here. Meanwhile, that side, you've compromised already. Satan has studied you.
Some of you, tall girls don't work on you. And some of you, short boys don't work on you. Do you understand? We all have preferences. But nobody is born with a list that this is what works on me. Nobody knows what. You yourself, you usually don't know what works on you and what doesn't work on you. You discover it as you go. Like you just said, I think I don't like short people. Or I don't like tall people. Or I don't like dark people. Or I like these people. Or this. Like you discover along the way. So Satan is studying you as you are discovering as well. He said, so that's your type. Okay, let's go look for it. And there comes the day where you are going to the shop. It's a normal day. But it is not normal. That's the day. I said, that's the day. He's been studying you for 3 years. He has done a lot of tests on you for 3 years. And the day he says, nah, release her. Ah. My God. They will tell you she's married. You will not hear it. They will tell you she's just coming from her period. This girl's coming from the period. Look at it. Look at it. She had just completed the purification rites from having her menstrual period. You go to a girl, she's still bleeding. It doesn't. Normally, when a man hears period, he runs. He says, hey. Bekosi amakosi. He said, bring the periods, mama. Bring the periods. There were so many obstacles that could have helped him. Why couldn't he stop? Because Satan studied him. Satan studies you. He knows what you like. So I'm talking about that you're going to the shop. You just took your money and you're going to the shop. Then you meet a person. Heaven. Then you do that. Nothing happened. You continue. But something has hit. Now they are studying. They are studying your reaction. They are studying. They are watching you like a movie. How did she react? Okay. Sharp. No problem. No problem. They must meet again. And you are shocked. The person you like that day, and you didn't greet them. Like magic. You met in the taxi. Like, wow. Can't you see that somebody is thinking? You are thinking, oh no, it's coincidence. There's no coincidence in this world, my friend. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. Somebody has studied you, and they are now bringing what they feel you might fall for. And that is how, you know, it's so difficult to like something and to have to let it go. Ooh. Because you know it's wrong. It takes character. To see something you like, yet to know it's wrong, I should let it go. It takes a lot of character to do that. When it is something you don't like, you quickly brush it off. You just brush it off. So Satan is not a stupid person. He knows if he brings things you don't like, you would quickly throw them away. That's why he takes years to study you to discover what works on you. So by the time he brings it, you will really need the grace of God and the mercy of the Spirit to escape. So this is what happens to us. We like it so much. We can't believe it is here. So you say, you know what? I'll keep it. Then I continue going to church. I need Jesus in my life. I don't want to go to hell. But I'll keep this thing. So you enter compromise. And that's how your life starts going off track.
So David remained king. Nobody knew he did what he did. He continued in his normal things. Eh? Normally. When I was Zulu. When I was Zulu. Hey! And they are saying this and say, Yebo. Yebo. So nobody knows what David has done. And he pushed for years. He impregnated this girl. The baby died. He continued. He killed the husband of the guy. He got the husband killed. Took the lady for himself. How many of you can see that David's gone off track? He's gone off track. Not by a giant. Not by an army from the Philistine. By a girl. A small girl. This is how we go off track. And I was telling the people of Rebecca that, look, I know some of you are a bit advanced in age, but I will still teach this because it doesn't change nothing. You can be even 100 years old. Look, I hear that when Papa Robert Mugabe was 90 years old, his last born was 20 years. You know what that means? It means when he was 70. Oh, he was still busy. 70 years old. He was still doing some work. Oh, yes. So I should not talk to you because you are saying you are. No. I will talk about this thing. Are you blessed? Yeah. This is how we go off track. Your phone. Start watching porn. And you are going off track. At work, you start flirting with somebody's wife. Somebody's husband. Somebody's child. You are going off track. Every time there are family meeting, you and your cousin, you start doing stuff. And you are going off track. Nobody's talking about these things. So how can we develop if these files are left unattended to? Getting back on track. Number one, it means I have to get back into sexual purity. Clap. It's a good place to. After you are not clapping well, you are just morote. Some of you, know, my sister, let's clap. My brother, let's clap. Guys, let's clap. Yes. Sexual purity. I couldn't believe I can talk about this thing on November. But we're going to talk about it. Not today, though. But, you know, look, I'll be brushing up these things once in a while. Every Friday, we'll be helping you get back on track. Get back on track. Yeah. You see, that one night stand of David brought so much trouble. Long after David was dead, trouble didn't stop. Even after David repented, things continued going wrong. People died. Much evil happened because of that one night.
So they say prevention is better than cure. Let's talk about loyalty and disloyalty. Say with me, I'm a loyal person. This month, I'm talking about loyalty and disloyalty. And I want you to please give me your ears every week as I will be teaching about this. Because you see, sometimes the subjects are not easily understood because we don't know what it means. So because you don't know what a thing means, you quickly switch off. You say, when you are talking about backing or getting off back on track, I was hearing you. Now, loyalty and disloyalty, I don't know what you're talking about. So what is a loyal person? To better understand what is a loyal person, let me explain what is a disloyal person. Because if you can understand what is a disloyal person, it can assist you in knowing what a loyal person is. And maybe just by telling you what is a disloyal person, it can also help you understand why this subject is so important. So a disloyal person is an unfaithful person. A disloyal person is also an uncommitted person. They don't keep their commitments. They don't keep their word. They are unfaithful. They don't stick to what they said. And I know this very well because when it comes to soccer, I was very unfaithful. Do you understand? I don't like losing. So if I start supporting you, I see that you are losing. I shift. I start supporting the other one. So my family always used to say, we don't even know who is your team because you are always shifting. It's like when you see that this one is losing, you shift, you start supporting the other one. But a loyal person, once a pirate, always a pirate. Once a Kaizer Chief, always, even if they are losing the games, you have to be loyal. So we have a statement here, once an aliver, always an aliver. That is not true for some people. I'm an aliver based on the circumstances. Uncommitted, inconsistent person. That's a disloyal person is inconsistent. They start something, but they don't continue. Many people started in the BVGs here. Disloyalty has happened to these people. Serious disloyalty. They started standing here, singing here. Now you don't see them here. That's disloyalty. You are unfaithful. You are uncommitted because you committed, you say you're going to do it. Then you're not doing it. Our dancing stars, sometimes they are here, 15 of them. I'm trying to show you how disloyalty is dangerous. When you are disloyal, it means you are unfaithful, you are uncommitted, and you are inconsistent. It means last week we saw you here, this week you are nowhere to be found. And you will agree with me, it affects the nature and quality of our service. When we were expecting to see you here and you are not here, it affects us. It affects us. A disloyal person is a betrayer. A betrayer. Have you ever been betrayed before? You gave information to somebody and you thought you were going to keep it a secret. And you came the next day, you heard the information from 5 other people. Were you happy that you gave the information to that person? Uh-huh. You see what happened? That person betrayed your trust. That's a disloyal person. A disloyal person is a betrayer. You trust them, they betray you. They speak behind your back. And you will agree with me
Most of what we struggle in life comes from these things.
People that are not committed, people that are not consistent, and people that are betraying you. That is what happens to us. That's why I'm teaching about this, because you see, I don't want you to be a betrayer. And I also don't want people to betray you.
A disloyal person is a backstabber. They stab you at the back. A disloyal person is a Judas. Iscariot. It's a Judas Iscariot. You trust them. You show them things. You put them in charge of things. Ooh, and they turn against you. They actually see you as an opportunity for their own growth. Have you seen people who will use you to go higher? Am I talking to myself this morning in this church? Everybody here must have faced a Judas before. Somebody that you trusted, but they are using you to rise higher. Like they are using you. And some of us that are here, you've been a Judas to other people. You've actually used people to go higher. Even some of you, when I look at you, you look like Judas actually. It's just that sometimes I control myself. But not say who. It's my personal information. But just say that this is Judas Iscariot actually. Personified. Look at your neighbor deeply and say, are you a Judas? Am I sitting next to a Judas this morning? A disloyal person is a pretender. Perfect pretender. Perfect pretender. You never know what you are dealing with. It's a pretender. Everything they say is a lie. A pretender. Your life is in danger when your life is in the hands of a pretender. Go and ask Samson. He's sleeping in the laps of Delilah. And Delilah said, baby, I love you. I need you in my life. But he doesn't know that he has taken money to crucify him. She is a perfect pretender. I heard a story yesterday of this girl. She was dating 3 boys at the same time. 3. What a warrior, my sister. What a warrior indeed. She was dating 3. And the way she was so skilled, the 3 guys were friends. I heard the story yesterday. I almost fainted. True story. Apparently, when this one went to her and said, no, man. It's like the things you are telling me. Another person is saying the same thing. It's like you are talking to her. You are also busy with that one. She said, no, he is just my friend. When you are the chosen one. You are the one I love. He is just a friend. So then he becomes nice. He feels he's winning. Then he discovers that the same thing she told him, when the other one comes, she says, no, he is just a friend. You are the real deal. Perfect pretender. Some of them are in the church. They pretend to love Jesus. They pretend to love the Word of God.
They are not interested. I mean, they
are far from me. Like, they are just here because Mama said so. If I don't come, this and that. I mean, they are not interested. They want something else. Some are even here for girls. All boys.
So, to finish the story of the three friends, they realized, they had a meeting, the three of them. No, they said, no. What you say is what she told me. And they said, no, it's your, I said, okay, not a problem. Today at lunchtime, we will call her. She will not know that we are all three together. We'll call her. Let's deal with this thing today. We'll call her. Lunchtime. One calls her. And she's coming, thinking she's coming for. And she sees all three. They are looking at her. And she says, ah, guys, why? What is this? So the brother says to me, the other two, him and the other one, they took her hand. They gave to the hand of the other one. They said, the two of you, you are together. We are leaving you together. I cancel in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, and the release. You never know. I will keep canceling every day, everywhere. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. A disloyal person is a deceiver. A double-faced person. Double-faced. They have two faces. They can smile, and then when you are not there, I will be a fool to think all the people that are smiling at me in my presence smile for me in my absence. I will be a fool to think that. It's not true. Many people that smile at me when they look at me, when I'm not there, they are scorning at me. They are gossiping about me. They are saying a lot of evil about me. And some are sitting in front of me right now. Yeah. They've said things about me that they cannot say in my face. And they've actually listened to things being said against me that they know that this is not right. You shouldn't talk like this. But they've entertained those talks. But when they see me, Uruchi, Papa, hey, what do I? And I say, and I must believe you. I'm not a fool. These are pretenders. Double face. Look, when Judas sees Jesus, the Holy Ghost is upon you. You know, every time I see you, I ask myself, could there be such a human being? You walk on water, you feed 5,000, you feed 7,000, you heal everybody. I worship you. Judas Iscariot, as soon as Jesus turned his back, how much are you going to give me? How much? No, 20? No. That guy is a big shot, man. Add some more money on this thing. Can you do 30? 30, eh? Okay, 30. Okay, sharp. 30. Perfect pretender. Even when Jesus Christ says, one of you is going to betray me, nobody can pick out that it can be Judas. Everybody says, who is he? Who is he? Because Judas is a perfect pretender. He's using kisses to. He's kissing to kill. So, with the little time I have left,
Why is loyalty such a big deal? Why is it important that you and I choose to be loyal people? Not pretenders. Not Judases. Not backstabbers. But genuine people. Genuine people. I actually feel relationships become better when we are genuine. They become much better. You see, the pretending you are doing in the church, I will not be surprised. It's the same pretending you are doing in your house. It is the same pretending you are doing everywhere else. So it means all your relationships are weak. And they are fake. They can't last. They can't last. Can you mention one person you are relating with that you can speak your mind? When you are not happy about something, you can say, I'm not happy about this. You are saying, this person is my friend, but you can never tell them the truth. Is that the friendship is always based on me telling you lies. That's why we end up surrounded with Judases and we can't even know it. Yeah. You should see that picture of Tupac. The picture of Tupac, the girlfriend, the manager, this, all Judases. He had no clue who he was surrounded with. After his death, we discovered that the girlfriend was sleeping with this one, and this one was behind his death. The whole picture, everybody in that picture was the enemy of Tupac. And Tupac is thinking, these are my friends. Everybody in that picture was a controversial person. You know why? Because Tupac didn't come to ABC. Amen. To learn about Judases and disloyal people and pretenders. That's why Tupac found himself surrounded with serpents. Serpents. But by the grace of God, I will teach you how to recognize a Judas, how to recognize a serpent, how to recognize a bad person. And you are calling them your friend. You say, this is my friend. But the person hates you. The person hates you. I used to watch movies before. I don't do anymore. But Bodyguard. Bodyguard. If you watch that movie, the sister was the killer. Yet she was the manager. She was the one assisting, what is this girl's name again? Whitney Houston. Meanwhile, she was jealous of her, envious of her, with everything within her. She was feeling that Whitney has stolen her star, that she was the one who was supposed to be on those billboards. So she's pretending every day, oh no, Whitney, you did so well. No, Whitney, how about this? Meanwhile, in her heart of hearts, she wants Whitney dead. And she has paid people to kill Whitney while she's managing Whitney. This is what we go through every day. This is how you end up marrying a Judas. You end up appointing a Judas to be your direct assistant. You can see by all accounts that the person is not supporting you. The person doesn't believe in you. The person has no interest of being with you. But you keep saying, no, she's my friend. And no, we are together. So I'm hoping that through this series, you will develop deeper relationships. Like, you will not be a pretender. Why are you pretending about everything? The food is not nice. Oh, no, it's nice. Why can't you say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with the food, but I think the salt was a bit too much. I mean, give a little compliment, but then address the problem. Address the problem. Because the person doesn't know they are doing something wrong.
And you lying to them, you continue to destroy them by saying the food is nice, the food is nice. You could have just said to them, listen, you have a lot of potential, but work on your salt. This week I heard another story. I asked a particular sister, I asked her, can you cook? She said, yes, Pastor, I cook very well. I said, the next question was, who has ever eaten your food? She says, Pastor, myself. I said, no. You can't tell me that yourself. Who else? She said, my father and my mother. I said, okay, good. What did they say? She said, you know, Pastor, the other day when I cooked, I said to them, this is the food. Can we just eat this food? Let's just eat the food. I said, but why did you feel the need to say they must just eat the food? I said, because they are always criticizing everything I do. They are always criticizing. I said, no, can we just eat the food? I said, okay. And I said, what about your younger brother? She says, he doesn't eat my food. And she said, Pastor, you know why, Pastor? I said, I don't know. That's bread. I said, he likes bread. That's why he doesn't eat my food. And I said, so you really believe that he likes bread? That's why he doesn't eat your food. Then she says to me, Pastor, I don't believe it. I said, why don't you believe it? She said, because the other day, my cousin was speaking with him. And my cousin said, but your sister has cooked food. Why are you eating bread? He said, I don't like her food. So he told the cousin that he doesn't like her food. But he couldn't tell her. He will go for bread. And that's what we do. We don't tell the truth. We go and buy bread. And the parent continues with the deception that they know how to cook. This is not helping our marriages. This is not helping the children. This is not helping the relationships. This is not helping the beloveds because we are pretending. This is why we need to talk about loyalty. Put your hands up. Clap, 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 clap. Loazi, clap, 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 clap. Yes. You have to clap. Why is loyalty important? Almost every major problem came from a disloyal person. Every major problem you have, even in South Africa, you check the politics of South Africa, you will see that every party was created by a disloyal, disgruntled, unhappy person. Disloyalty is always behind every major problem. In your family, all the problems are because of one unfaithful person. One inconsistent person. One person that doesn't flow. When we say, let's go this way, they're going this way. And that is where all our problems are coming from. Almost every major problem is caused by a disloyal person. Could you believe that there can be a problem in heaven? Yet the Bible says, and there was war in heaven. How can there be war in heaven? Because one disloyal person called Lucifer emerged from there and he brought serious problems. Lucifer wouldn't flow like the other angels. He had a problem with God being the only king on the throne. And those Luciferian behaviors are found everywhere. Where we have a problem. Why Pastor Pascal is the one always preaching on Sunday, man? LP must also preach from time to time. I mean, whenever LP preaches, we are enjoying. Why is it that every Sunday we are hearing this man screaming at us? LP, you know, once again, when LP is preaching, I feel God. I feel God. Like I'm blessed. I'm actually blessed. And but she must be given a chance from time to time, you know. It shouldn't just be Muruchi every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. I mean, her gift is dying. Your mother, her gift is dying. Were you there when I married her? Were you there when I married her? You didn't help me to train her. Now you know she can preach. Saye, 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 saye. And these loyal people, they are always speaking behind the back. Yeah. These days, the services are long. Now, me, I get hot easily. And I told me, I can't. I gave ABC a chance 3 times. They are not getting it right. Now I'm leaving. Don't you think it will be wiser to just approach Muruchi and say, Muruchi, is it the way we can work on the time? Don't you think that is the best way to solve the problem than to go to people who will never solve the problem and you are poisoning their minds? How are you helping us by telling the members that we are too long? Our songs are too high. And you know that church, they sing the songs of Hillsong. We are Africans. Yeah. Apostle. I want some apostle. Why can't you go to LP and say, LP, Mamuruchiwaka, can we add a bit of nyana, something? Just... But you will go and tell your fellow brother, and you guys will start a gossip group. And that gossip group will now, it will start with the song, then it will move to, I don't like to complain. But why is pastor not praying for people like a lot? He preaches more than he prays. You know, I've been in churches, ne? The man of God, we pray. Muruchi is always talking. Are you sure he's anointed? I mean, I don't see power. I want to see power. No, you think I'm joking? There's a young man who left this church, and he says that Pastor Pascal doesn't have power. Yes. He left this church, and the reason for leaving the church was that Pastor Pascal doesn't have power. Yes. So he went to a church where there was power. He didn't last a month. He got born again here, was in this church for almost 5 years. He went to a church where there was power. Couldn't last a month. Meanwhile, there's power here all over the place. The type of power that is here. My God. But that is, you see how honest I am with you in the preaching? That is how I want you to be. Why do you pretend that you like something, you don't like it? You pretend. Why do you pretend? This is why you end up marrying a Jezebel. Yes, you know why? Because you are not telling her, look, I'm not happy with the way you are talking to me. I'm not happy with the way you're doing this. You are just stomaching everything. And before you realize, you are engaging her. Before you realize, you are paying Lobola. Before you realize, say, I do. Now, Jezebel has entered the house. Then you start crying. Because we will not speak the truth. You will go and a guy start touching you. And you know he shouldn't touch you. But you are not speaking. You are letting it. You say, no, I think he will not go beyond here.
Silence is a sign of consent. Whenever you are silent, it means you are agreeing. Never forget that. Silence means you are okay with it. So you must always speak. When you are not happy, you must say, I don't like the way you are talking. I don't like the way you are looking at me, number one. Say, call them for a meeting. Say, sit down. Can I talk to you? Okay. I don't like the way you look at me in this place. You look at me with very bad eyes. I don't like those eyes. Is I want to eat me. Do I look like a beggar to you? Be careful. I can burn you. I speak in tongues here and you will die. Do you understand that? There's a sister I know. She had a brother like that at the workplace who was making moves very strongly. And she herself was feeling that, no, I think if this guy continues, before I realize myself, I'll be down. So she called him for a meeting. She sat him down. And she says to him, can I tell you something? I don't appreciate the way you are looking at me. And I don't appreciate the way you are talking to me. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't appreciate it. That was the end of it. And you guys just let it go on and on and on. By the time you realize you're already talking to him on WhatsApp. And you hate it, but you can't help it. I don't know why, but I feel you are being blessed by this message. Eh? I don't know why. I don't know why, but I just feel that I'm talking to your heart. The word is entering your spirit. Yes, it's entering your spirit. Let's stop pretending. Tell your neighbor, let's stop pretending. Let's stop pretending. Let's stop pretending. This thing is killing us. It's killing us. It's killing our families. It's killing us. Let's stop doing this thing. Let's stop it. Churches are not being built because people are pretending. I could tell you so many stories here now. People pretending to pay tithe. People pretending to contribute. People pretending to come. People pretending to pray. I can tell you so many stories. But if the church was dependent on those people, my God, we'd be dead. Instead of saying, Pastor, I'm struggling with prayer. I don't want you to think I'm praying. I'm not. Help me. No, Pastor, I did 1 hour. We will continue next week by the grace of God. But I believe God is helping you. Let me give you one last one. You see, loyalty is the main thing for in us here at Abe. It's the main thing. The main thing. Meaning faithfulness is the main thing God is looking for in us here at ABC. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 12. The Bible here now says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. What is a steward? A steward is somebody who is put in charge of something that doesn't belong to them. Do you understand? And the earth belongs to God. Anything that you see in this world belongs to God. You came naked. Are you aware that you came naked here? And you are also living naked. So whatever you are doing here, you are just a steward. You are put in charge of something that doesn't belong to you. That's what it means. You have nothing. You came with nothing, and you're going to leave with nothing. So anything you have in between, somebody gave you so that you can take care of it. That's all. And when you are a good steward, he gives you more things. That is how it is. God doesn't look at how skilled you are first. He checks how faithful you are.
So he usually starts by giving you first little. You know that verse, yeah? Whoever is faithful with little. So when God starts testing you, he gives you little and he checks, how are you going to handle little? And he's not looking at how eloquent you are. No. He's looking how faithful, how consistent, how reliable, how committed are you with the little he just gave you. We think, God, no, if I can look nice, if I can speak nice, that's not what God is not interested in that. God is asking himself, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Meaning, are you consistent? Meaning, are you reliable? That's what he's checking. And everybody misses him on that small thing. So, when God wants to give you a lot of money, he doesn't check if you look nice. No. He wants to know, are you faithful? So, he will give you little money first to check you. So, he gives you little, and he observes how you're going to handle it. If you are faithful with that little, then he says, oh, you did well. Let me add a bit more. Then he gives you a little bit more. Then he starts checking again how faithful you are. So, either God gives you a lot or less, it's not up to God. It's up to how faithful you are. How faithful you are. Anything that God wants to give you, the first thing he checks, are you faithful? God can give you 100 people, but he will not start by giving you 100 people. He will first give you one person, and he will check, are you faithful with one person? Because if you are faithful with one person will become two people, naturally. And if you are faithful with two, two will become four. And four will become six, 10, 20. Are you faithful? This is the mystery between people never having much or never having enough, because they are unfaithful. God finds them unfaithful in little. One be found. So when we come and check, we find you are faithful. You are found faithful. If you are to be found faithful, it means you'll be tested. There's a test. You will be tested to see if you will be found faithful. And I pray for you today that when you are tested, you will be found faithful in the name of Jesus. As I close, Moses was faithful. Numbers 12, verse 7. The Bible says, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Moses was found faithful. That God trusted him. Jesus was found faithful. Hebrews 3, 1 to 2. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So you see, Moses was faithful. Jesus was faithful. Not powerful. Faithful. Faithful. You have to understand that what God is after is faithfulness, which is loyalty, which is, are you consistent? Some of you started serving in a certain area. Now you pull out. I used to have 15 dancing stars, 20 dancing stars. Now I have 6. Do you think that I have six because the other one don't know how to dance? Huh? They can all dance. So the skill is there. But do you know what is not there? Character, faithfulness. Are you with me? Please, let's stop moving. We are closing, eh? Let's just stop moving. David was faithful. 1 Samuel 14, verse 22. So Ahimelech answered to the king and said, "And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house? Who is as faithful as David?" So you are now saying Moses was faithful, Jesus was faithful, David is faithful. Paul was faithful. 1 Timothy 1:12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." What does God use to put people in the ministry? Faithfulness. That's the main thing. The main thing is that God checks, are you faithful? Will you come every Sunday? Will you be there every time? Will you continue even when it's hard? Will you be faithful? How many of you believe that my wife is very beautiful? Yeah. All the brothers are standing, all the sisters are sitting down. The jealousy can never finish. In 1,000 years, I tell you. It's instant. It's natural. All the brothers were standing. The sisters are just okay. Hey, we shall see. It's just natural. About six brothers stood naturally. The sisters are thinking about it. Please take your seat. I was just trying to joke with you. Now, when I met her, she was even more beautiful. You understand? I am not married to her now after 13 years because of beauty. Because this is not how she looked when we met about 15 or 16 years ago. She was smaller. She still is in a gracious way. Smaller. Do you understand? Yeah. It is beauty that is keeping your thing. It means as beauty starts fading, the thing will also start fading. So just to ask you, why are you dating this person? Oh no, he's cute. He's cute. Okay, what else? He's nice. What else? He dresses nice. I like his clothes. They are not his clothes. He bought them. I hope you realize that he bought. So what has kept my marriage? But first of all, the mercies of God. But you see, a commitment that this is where I am. It's a commitment. There will be dark days, difficult days. But what keeps us is the commitment. Like, we have agreed that we're going to do this. Not beauty again. Beauty will become irrelevant. We didn't see that. Beauty is no more holding water. So the first day you came to... Thank you, my lovey. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. The first day you come to Allah Baba Church. Woo! My God. I can't believe there's such a church. It's so nice.
The pastor preaches so well. There's echo, no. There's that cheese. It's so nice. There's a big screen. Like, it's nice. But you see, those things you are mentioning cannot keep you at ABC for 10 years. What will keep you in this nice church is not the air cons, the chairs, not even the preaching per se, but that you are faithful. You are saying, Lord, you sent me here. And because you sent me here, this is where you will find me. If you are looking for me, you will find me there. I am not there because there are no problems. I want to ask you a question. Who is here from a family where there are no problems? Like your family is perfect. There are no... There's no such thing. But why are you still in that family that has so many problems? You are committed. That's where you are. That's where you are. When you start this thing that when there's a problem, you jump. That's what your life becomes. You become used to jumping every time the pot is hot. So that way, you will never cook any meal. Your food will always be raw and nobody can eat it. I like rice, but I can't eat raw rice. For me to eat rice, the rice must be committed to the pot. Even though the pot is getting hot, the rice must say, I am committed, I am dedicated, I am faithful, I will be here, I am loyal to the pot. It is that rice that was committed to the fire that you come and say, dish for me some rice. Not the rice that didn't go through the fire. Nobody eats it. So if you like, be the type of Christian that never goes through anything. David says, when I go through the valley. Isaiah says, even though I go through the fire, I go through the water. You want to be a Christian that goes through nothing. Whenever you are going through something, you jump out. You are going through offense, you jump out. You are going through betrayal, you jump out. Then people will not be able to eat you. Many people will not be able to enjoy you. As simple as that. To build a strong church, we need committed members. Yeah. I've got some members that they've been with me for many years. Many, many years. Do you think... Mama Moketi, please, can you stand up, ma? Mama Moketi. Many years. She's still committed. And I can assure you, many things have happened over there. If I give her the microphone, she can tell you, this happened before. But she's still here. With her family, they are here. Hallelujah. And that is why we can build. We cannot build one church in many locations if you keep jumping off the train. The moment you are hurt a little bit, you stop coming. The moment it's December and your boyfriend, your ex, that is always calling you in December. He has returned. You disappear again. Your ex. Even you should be using that alphabet. You should think. We are ABC. You are going to X. I mean, how can you even compare those things? X. Even in math, X is a dangerous number. Once you see X, you are in trouble. When now you are going for X,
You are not going for ABC where you can really grow and develop yourself and become somebody. You are going for my ex. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. Praise the Lord. Yeah. For us to build the church, Jesus said, I'm building the church. For Jesus to build the church, he says, you are Peter. What is Peter? Peter means a rock. Stable. You will never find rocks. Have you ever found rocks moving around? Have you found rocks roaming around? Matthew 16 verse 18, my friend. Have you ever found rocks moving around, going all over the place? Rocks are stable, grounded. You can't shake it. And Jesus is saying, you are Peter, and on what? This rock. So Jesus builds with rocks. Stable people, hard people, strong people. Not sand. Small thing, we are already crying. I thought it's a church. Me, I thought I went to church. I'm leaving. You are sent. But you are becoming rock in the name of Jesus. You are becoming rock in the name of Jesus. Rock. Solid. So I built my church. And you see what is coming against the church? The gates of hell. Do you think that sin can fight gates of hell? Huh? You need to be a rock because of what is coming. To be a rock. Are you with me, guys? Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. So from today, I pray for you. Maybe you have never had this mind in your life. Like you've always been a very betrayer type of a person. You know, you promise and you say you are coming. You never come. Yeah. I dated a girl like that. No, I'm coming. I'm on my way. The whole day. I'm on my way. I'm coming. Then by the time I check, her phone is off. I'm on my way. That is how some of our members did to us this morning. I'm on my way. I'm coming. I'm on my way. By the time you're checking them again, their phone is off. I'm on my way. When you hear me say I've dated a girl like that, you are surprised. Haven't you dated people? Look, you are making it look like, oh, Muruti, when now you've been busy, eh? Haven't you been dating people yourself that were not faithful to you? You guys are just making it look like, Muruti, when now, you have a lot of stories, eh? Hey, why are you judging me? Why are you judging me? You think I can't hear your thoughts? I can hear your thoughts. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Yes. We are becoming faithful people. We are becoming loyal people. We are becoming rocks in the house of God. Unmovable. Unshakable. Unchangeable. Yes. And then we sing that song to the Lord. That's who he is, right? But now he's singing it back to us this morning. That's who you are. Understand? He says, unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable. That's who you are. Can you sing to somebody? Sing to somebody. Unshakable, unmovable, unchangeable. Tell them, that's who you are. One more time. Unchangeable,
unmovable, unshakable. That's who you are. Put your hands together for Jesus and let's welcome LP on stage. Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet and give Jesus a mighty shout of praise. Come on, raise up your voice and give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. Come on, raise up your voice and give Jesus a hosanna. Come on, raise up your voice and give Jesus a hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't hear you say hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah is the highest praise. Hallelujah. We give him all the praise this morning. We give him all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah. With this next part of the service, I believe God is really getting us back on track with him. Hallelujah. He's making us to be loyal to him, loyal to his word, and loyal to his church, as Pastor has given us the word this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we sing this song and say, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Where it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm carrying load for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about. Raise up your hands and say, I'm coming back, I'm coming back,
I'm coming back.
We're coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Come and say, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you.
About you.
Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for the things I hate it. Say, it's all about you. It's all about you. Say, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Raise up your voice one more time. Say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to prayer. I'm coming back to the red word of God. It's all about you.
It's all about you,
G. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. When it's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. One more time. Raise up your hands and say, I'm coming back.
I'm coming
back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. Say, I'm sorry, Lord.
For the things
it's all about you, Jesus. Capture my heart again. Come and put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, capture my heart again. Lord, touch my heart again. Lord, draw me close to you again. Lord, touch my heart again. Lord, help me be stable. Make me a stable, unmovable, unshakable person. Make me a strong follower of Jesus. Make me a strong, committed Christian. Touch my heart again. Capture me for the things of God. Capture me for your word. Capture me, Lord, for meditation. Capture me, Jesus. Capture my heart again. Restore me again. Raise up your voice and say, Lord, restore me again. I'm so far from where I should have been. I'm so far from where I could have been. I'm sorry, Jesus. Draw me back to you, Jesus. Draw me closer to you, Jesus. Draw me back to you, oh God. Oh, restore me again. Restore me again. Revive me again. Revive me again. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you have come to the house of God this morning and you've had the message, you've had the word of God, and you know that this is the word for you. You know that God was speaking to you. You know that it was as though you were standing before God and he was giving you counsel. He was giving you admonishment. He was giving you encouragement. He was giving you a rebuke. You know that you've not been where you are supposed to be. You've been dislocated many times, especially in this season. You've been dispositioned in many situations, and you are saying, God, I want to come back to you. God, I want to find you. You know that you've come to church this morning because the Lord has sought you out. And you're saying, Lord, now that you found me, may you never let me go again. May I never depart from your ways again. May I never depart from you again. Lord, capture my heart. You are here this morning. You are saying, this word is for me. You are here this morning. You are saying, this word, this message is for me. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want him to rule over me. I want him to be my master. I don't want to be mastered by the world. I don't want to be a servant of the world. I don't want to serve idols. I don't serve foreign gods. I want Jesus to be my only heart's desire. I'm coming back to you, Jesus. I want to surrender to you. I want to give you my heart. I want to surrender to you. I want to give you my mind, my soul, all that I am. At the count of three, today, if you hear his word, do not harden your heart. At the count of three, you're saying, Jesus, it's me, it's me, it's me. The word is for me, it's me. I'm located, it's me. At the count of three, lift up your hand high, and we will pray with you. One, two, three. Raise your hand high if you're saying, Jesus, I see your hand. Raise it up high. Don't be ashamed. Jesus sees every hand that is lifted up in this place. You're saying, Jesus, it's me, it's me, it's me. I just want you. I want all of you. I want all of you in my heart. All of you. Yes, yes. Raise it up, raise it up, raise it up. Never be ashamed. Raise it up to Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I desire you, Jesus. You're my desire. You can put your hand down. Maybe you're here also. You're saying, I've known Jesus, but I'm so far from Jesus. I'm born again. He's my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and he's my Savior. But I'm so far from him. I'm so far from him. I'm concerned that I'm not hungry for him. I'm so concerned that I'm not moved by him anymore. I'm concerned that I'm not sensitive to his presence anymore. I'm concerned that there's a level of dryness I've entered into. Jesus, stir me up again. Jesus, restore me again. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to be revived again for his cause. I want to be revived again. I don't know if Jesus would come, if I will be in heaven. I don't know if he comes today, if I'll be in heaven. Because the way, the direction I've taken, the way I've been moving, the way I have forsaken him, the way I've distanced myself from him. But I've come to the house of God. I'm born again. I love Jesus. But I know that I'm not where I should have been, where I could be. I want to come back. At the count of three also, yes, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Raise up your hand high and we're going to pray with you. You're making the most important decision of your life right now by recommitting. Even though you are born again, you say, I recommit my life to Jesus. Raise it up. One, two, three. Raise up that hand. You're saying, I'm recommitting my life to Jesus. I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm running back to Jesus. I'm seeking his face. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. Don't harden your heart. Hallelujah. You can put your hand down. If you've lifted up your hand for any of these altar call, I want you to do the last thing. Take a bold step and say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Take a bold step. Take your belongings. Take whatever you came with and take a bold step and join us here. Come, come, come. Come, come. Say, I'm coming. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm returning to the Creator. I'm returning back to Jesus. I'm rushing back to God. Put your hands together for them, church, and encourage them. Lord, I'm coming back. Lord, I'm running back to you. Lord, I'm running back to you. I desire you. I long for you. I'm marching back to you. I'm coming back to you. I hear you calling. Yeah, you come on, put your hands together for them. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Lord, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. I'm not committed to my own life. I'm not committed to my old ways. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. I want to be faithful to you. I say, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to be committed to you. I want to be loyal to you. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow you, Lord. Give me the grace. You can still come. If you're in the congregation, you know that he's knocking. Don't harden your heart. You see that he's knocking at the door of your heart. He's saying, let me in. He's saying, let him in. Let me in. Come on, put your hands together for them, for those who are still coming. Hallelujah. He's saying, let me in. Let me in. Let me into your heart. Let me in. Raise raise up two hands to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Your life is changing right now. You're making the most important decision of your life. There's a turnaround right now. There's a turnaround for you right now. Repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now I believe. My sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we want to say thank you for having mercy on us this morning. Thank you for having mercy on us this morning. Thank you for having mercy on your people this morning. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for reaching out and never giving up on your people. Thank you for reaching out and never giving up and never writing off your people. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. I pray that your mercy will still locate your people. As we go through the end of the year, that your mercy will rest on your people. As they make the choice and a determination within their hearts to follow you, let your mercy keep them in your love, oh Father God. I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus speak on their behalf. Let the blood of Jesus give them victory over the works of darkness. Let the blood of Jesus forgive sin. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse them. Let the blood of Jesus neutralize the stronghold of sin. Let the blood of Jesus uproot every working of darkness in their lives. The blood of Jesus over these ones, oh God. Father, may they rise up to be pillars in your house. May they rise up to be servants of God, men and women of God, evangelists, pastors, bishops, shepherds, leaders of leaders, Lord God, disciple makers. Give them the grace, oh God, to not just be churchgoers, but to emerge as your servants, to emerge as your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, to reach the unreached, oh God, to preach the gospel, to go at your bidding. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we have prayed. Amen.